I just want to pray. God, we just commit this time to you, Lord. God, I thank you for your goodness. Lord, I thank you for your promises that you've given us, Lord. God, I thank you, Lord, that you are a good God, Lord, and that we can come before you, Lord, as small, insignificant vessels, but we know that we serve a mighty, powerful God, Lord. And we just want to exalt you in this place, God, and we surrender, Lord, to you in Jesus' name. God, I pray for every person here to have an encounter with you, Lord, to really meet you, to really get to know you in every way, Lord, in the name of Jesus. God, we pray for families. God, we pray for marriages in this church, God. We pray for people who have become hopeless, Lord, to really meet with you, Lord. God, we want to pray that you will give us the grace to help others get to know you as well, Lord. Father, we pray that as Abram, that you blessed him to be a blessing, that you will bless us to become a blessing in this community, Lord, in this country, in Africa, God, in the world, Lord. And Father, we just want to bring Utrecht and this church plant and that Jan and Renee before you, God, that you will prepare them, that you will give them great faith, Lord, as they are like Abram and Sarah, Lord, that have to move the land that they know to go to the land of Canaan, Lord. Father, we pray that you will bless them as well, God, and we pray for godly relationships around them, Lord God, as they stand and get to grow in faith, that you will set up amazing things for the future, Lord, that our eyes haven't seen, our ears can't hear, our heart cannot imagine, that what you have installed for us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Also want to ask today if you have just to pray for tonight as well. We are very excited for tonight. I'm very grateful for what God is doing. And I've got a whole lot of messages that I want to preach. And this one in December I already knew I wanted to preach on Abram. So I almost preached on Moses. But then I said, no, I must go with what I felt God saying to me in the beginning. But the thing with Abram, and what is really interesting to me, is I took in Genesis 5, all those lineages, those Adam was, I think, 100 years old or 130, and I took those in an Excel spreadsheet. And then Genesis 11, it continues, and I put all of that in an Excel spreadsheet, and I worked it out from the beginning, the date, and then when they died on the end. You know what I realized? That Shem, Noah's son, died after Abram. 9 generations later. That's amazing. Did any of you know that? Because I was like, I'm not sure if this is true, but you can see my spreadsheet. And that Abram was probably 58 or 100 years old when Shem died. I just want to reconfirm there. When Noah died. Remember, Noah lived 950 years, and Shem lived 600 years. So when I looked at it, I thought, wow, this is really interesting. And, you know, always I thought that lineage was like they served God. And it's true, it could be. This is just my interpretation. I can be wrong here. But God called Abram, it says later in the Bible, he called Abram out of Ur, the land of the Chaldeans. But what happened was his father, Terah, was called to move out, and they traveled to Haran, that was still in Mesopotamia. Then when his father died, they moved, and they went to Canaan after that. His father died when he was 205 years old, but with Abram, it was, I believe, God spoke to his father. He left, but he couldn't leave completely. But his father was also an idol worshipper, and some commentaries say he was a moon worshipper. I had to go and look it up in Joshua 24. It says that he was an idol worshipper. It doesn't say it in Genesis. So for me, I realized that there's something that went wrong somewhere, and I'm thinking maybe with the Tower of Babel, when Nimrod set up that whole community, it says that all of these people were in unity, that they all became corrupted somehow. And then God had to call Abram out of the land because God wanted to do something new in his life. And this is just maybe one or two of you might be fascinated with facts like that, like me, but I don't think maybe everyone. But the fact is, God comes in Genesis 12 and he says to Abram, he says, the Lord said to Abram, go from your country, your kindred, and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation. I will bless you, and I will make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram is called to break away from his family, from his heritage, from where he's born, all the people that he know, because God wants to take him to a new place. And Friday morning I was really blessed with the business guys and Johan. And Daniel, I saw him somewhere as well. They've put a sort of a curriculum together for the businessmen. And the first topic was the clash of two worlds. And I was very impressed. I was really impressed with the content and the discussion that came from that. But like today, and Johan just was saying, you know, in today, businessmen are called to take control, to be in charge, to lead. But God is saying, surrender control. Walk in faith, serve, completely the opposite to what the world is saying. And the world will have all these motivational speakers coming to you and saying, if you put your mind to it, you can do all things, where God says, surrender all, that I can do it through you. And this is probably the most difficult thing for people, to come to a place where they surrender. And I, in Bible school, I shared the story of this man. He falls off a cliff and he grabs a branch hanging from a cliff and he's hanging like this. And he says, God, send someone to help me. God, send someone to help me. And then this huge angel comes and he flies just below this man. And he says, let the branch go and I will catch you. And the man looks at the angel and he looks up and he says, God, send someone else. And this is what happens. You know, we in our own circumstances, we want to be in control. With all that we understand life, we want to take control of our circumstances. We do not want to surrender. And the fact is, as these guys were saying, on Sunday, holy hands unto the Lord. On Saturday, the hand is in the till. On Monday. There's a difference how we serve God on Wednesday nights and Sundays to the rest of the week. And what they challenged us is saying, we should be the same in church, at home, in business. It should be to the glory of God. And this is where Abram is called to come out of the land where he is, from where he belongs, to walk out from there, because God wants to bless him. And what I'm just seeing here is that God's heart is to bless. But we cannot trust. We cannot trust him fully. So we start doubting in the goodness of God, and then we start holding onto the branch, onto the world, and we can't release so that God's blessing can come forth on our lives. But Abram made many mistakes. The one big mistake that he made was there was a famine. He went to Egypt. It says that his wife Sarah, he was very beautiful, and the Bible's normally understates everything. So she must have been really, really, really very beautiful. Pharaoh saw her and he said to his wife, I'm going to lie that we are brother and sister, although they were. She was his half sister, but she was his wife, number one. And he said, if they know that you are my wife, they will kill me to have you as a wife. So I'm just going to lie and say you're my sister. So he did that. They took her in to make her a wife of the Pharaoh, and then these plagues came. And God appeared to Pharaoh. He realized his mistake. He repented, and he gave a lot of stock and animals to Abram, and he said, sorry, I made a big mistake. And he continued back, going back to the land where he came from, but he took Lot with him. And I believe there comes a time in our lives where God will frustrate relationships if those relationships are not from the Lord. If there's sometimes we want to take people or things with us, but if that's not from God, God will frustrate us in a way that we must make a decision here. And what happened here was the shepherds that worked underneath Lot and Abram, they started quarreling and fighting over the animals, where they should graze and where they should drink. So Abram and Lot came together and they stood on the hill and they said, okay, Lot, Abram said to Lot, you choose east or west. He saw the east, the most beautiful country. He said, I'm going there. Abram took the west, which wasn't that great. But what he took was where Sodom and Gomorrah was. What he didn't realize was that it was going to be judged, because there was a lot of evil in the land. And so he made a decision in the flesh, not realizing that it would cause his destruction later on. So he continued going to that land. And there was these five kings that came or stood up and made war, or four kings that made war against the five kings of Sodom, Gomorrah, and three other cities. They overcame them, and they kidnapped Lot and his family and all his stuff, and they took it with them. Then Abram, this guy that was afraid, took 300 men, and he went to go and fetch it back. So I don't know if you saw that movie, 300. Same scenario, 3 against 3,000. Boy, did we mess up those three guys. But Abram with his 300 guys went in and did the opposite. They got all the spoils back, and they brought it back into the land. And he gave all the spoils back to the kings, only that he needed, but he tithed a 10% to a man called Melchizedek. And this is very interesting with doing communion. And when I just looked at this, I thought, yes, maybe we should do communion. And I came in and I realized it is communion. It's the first Sunday of the month. But in Genesis 14, it says, Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. This is the first time bread and wine is referred to in the Bible, in Genesis 14. So God's heart has been bread, the body of Christ, wine, the blood of Jesus from the beginning. Already he had it in mind for us. Melchizedek was the priest of God Most High. And he blessed Abram and he said, blessed be Abram by God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand. And Abram gave him a tenth of everything. You know, for me, I personally don't like speaking about money and finances. I never thought of doing a teaching on finances. I'm not like that. I believe it's that people must connect with God and understand the principles. But there's also a place that I understand that for us to be transparent of our finances, it should come both sides. That we should be able to speak about finances because it is biblical. And what is it that God wants us to do? So if we are accountable, I believe all of us should be accountable with finances, because right here in the beginning, Abram was already tithing to the priest of the God Most High. So there's an example that's been put here by the Lord that Abram was putting his trust in God, and he put his finances there. And Johan has challenged us again. He's saying, you know, show me your schedule and I will show you where your heart is. The things that you spend your time in is where your heart is. And they said, where you spend your money, that is where your heart is. I really believe this is so true, that we can look at our budget and we can know where our heart is. We can look at our schedules and we can know where our heart is. Is it for the Lord or is it for other stuff, for the world? But God has called us out of the world into His kingdom, to move away from the king, from this world, and to walk into the kingdom. And I believe this is the example that God is coming to give you. Just interesting enough as well, I've looked at the names of the cities. Abram moved to, when he came out of Mesopotamia, and he moved to Bethel, which is the house of the Lord. So out of Mesopotamia, he came to the house of the Lord. After he fought with Lot's enemies, he went to cool place Mamre, which is called strength. So God is his strength. And all these names have significance in the Bible, which is really amazing when you start looking at all these different things. If you look at Hebrews 7, this Melchizedek is called the King of Righteousness. His name Melchizedek means King of Righteousness, and King of Salem means King of Peace. And Hebrews 7 says that Melchizedek is a type of Jesus. I believe it actually was Jesus. And there's commentaries that will say that as well, but we probably never know until we're in heaven. But I really believe it was Jesus that appeared to Abram, to who he had a tithe there. After this incident, God appears again to Abram, and he says to Abram in Genesis 15, "Fear not, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great." And God's promise to Abram is to us, "I am your shield, and your reward shall be very great." And then Abram said, "O Lord, what will you give me, for I continue childless?" And sometimes we have all these promises of God, but we don't have that breakthrough. And I believe this is where Abram was. He was disappointed. He saw the goodness of God in his life. He saw he was wealthy, but he had this one thing that just wasn't there yet. It's, "God, I'm childless." And God took him outside and he says, "Do you see all the stars? As many as the stars, your children will be." And then it says, Abram believed the Lord, and he was counted to him as righteousness. So right there, we understand that righteousness comes by faith. We are saved by grace through faith, not by works. It's a free gift of God. So because we believe, God says to us, we are righteous. And Tuesday in Bible school, the guys did not understand it. But the thing about justification, because we believe, God says you are sinless. That's what God says. He declares us sinless. Then why is there still sin in my heart? Because it's a process of salvation. Because of faith. But the thing that I realize, the more I want to spend time with God, the more God takes the desire away for sin. And that process of becoming holy is enhanced as I spend time with God, as I spend time in the presence of God, as I seek God. The desire to do these fleshly things gets less and less. So as I walk out of the world and I start seeking God and the things of God, the desire for sin becomes less and less. And I am righteous before God because of faith and not because of the things that I am doing. But the same is for unbelief and for unbelief, for fear, for being anxious, for feeling rejected, for guilt, for shame. It's the same. I am not rejected because Jesus was accepted on the cross. He paid the price for me on the cross. Therefore, I'm accepted. I'm a child of God. I have to have faith because of what God has done. I have to believe. It's that place where I'm, instead of fear, I have to walk by faith. Because when the evidence of fear and unbelief and rejection and guilt and shame is there, it just means that I have to come to God. I have to surrender the world. Because when I'm in the world, shame and guilt and all those things will be put upon you. All those thoughts that you are not good enough will be put upon you. But as I walk out and say, "God, I'm coming to you," those things are cut off because they've been cut off at the cross of Christ. In Sarahi, God given them this promise. 16 years later, they still don't have the child. And his wife comes to him and says, "Look, we don't have a child. Here's my slave. You two have children." And he made a mistake. Once again, he made a decision in the flesh. And there came a child, a slave child, that was Ishmael. And Ishmael is the father of all the Muslims today. So the big mistake that the father of faith made, the children are still warring today in the Middle East because of that mistake that he has made. And this mistake was with them all of this time. But in Galatians 3, verse 29, it says that if we are Christ's, then we are Abram's offspring, heirs according to the promise, not to the slave, but to the promise, because we are children of the promise. So when we walk by faith, we become children of the promise. When we walk in unbelief, we become children of slavery, and we'll become slaves to this world, to sin, to stuff that will bring us down, to rejection, to guilt, to all those things that is telling us that we are not good enough. Galatians 4:6-7 says, but we are sons. God has sent us the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So we are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. But it's by faith. We have to believe. We have to believe that God's promise is for us. When we doubt those promises, God cannot reward it, because we're walking in unbelief. We have to believe that God is who He says He is. Genesis 17. Now Abram is 99 years old. Ishmael is about 14 years old. Abram was 99 years old, and the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty. I am El Shaddai. Walk before me, be blameless. Believe this is what God is saying to us. Walk before Him and be blameless. As we walk before Him, we will be blameless. If we walk in the flesh, the stuff will come. The slavery and the bondages will be put upon us. But if we walk before God, there will be no desire for those things. And then God says, I will make a covenant between me and you, and I will multiply you greatly. Then Abram fell on his face. And I believe encounters with God, the result of that is worship. When we meet God, when we have revelation of God, we want to worship Him. And the beginning of worship is thanksgiving. It's praise. But it's a life of worship where we surrender, because we know how great God is. I spoke to someone and just said, I think it's impossible really to go out and follow God and worship God if we've not had that burning bush experience. But I'm really trusting God that all of us will have this experience with God that we know. And that we can follow God because we hear His voice. We see who He is. And not the stuff that we know, that we learned in children's church. And we know all the stories. No, I have to do it. Because that brings us into slavery. It brings us into works. But God wants us to have faith, to walk by faith and not by sight. So he's worshiping God. And God says, my covenant is with you. And you shall be the father of multitude nations. You shall no longer be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham. For I have made you the father of the multitudes. Now, this guy Robert Morris, he's a scholar of Hebrew, but he says that age in Abraham means the same as breath. So God added to his name the breath of God. And it's also that character is also part of the name of Yahweh. So Abram's name gets changed to Abraham, the breath of God that comes upon his name. But now he's not the father or the exalted father, he's the father of the nations. God's heart is for the nations. It's for Utrecht, it's for Europe, it's for the nations. And I really believe this is where, and Johnny at the men's camp said to us, and he's planted 140, 80 or 200 churches, I can't remember, in Russia and the Ukraine. And he said, if we as believers don't lead anyone to Christ, we'll never come into fulfillment of our calling in God's life. There will always be something empty in us if we've not led someone to the Lord. There will always be a void in our hearts, because God's heart is for the nations. He wants God wants to empower us to go out, to reach out, to bring people to Him. So I continue. Then God said, then He says to in verse 6, He says, I will make you exceedingly fruitful. When we walk before God in covenant, in faith, God's heart is to make us exceedingly fruitful. The New Testament says God wants to bless us so that the Father can be glorified. God wants to make you and me exceedingly fruitful. And then He says, I will make you into nations, and kings shall come from you. And I said to the businessmen, I had a small opportunity to say something, but I don't believe kingly or godly business principles is to lead someone to work, at work to Christ. I believe it's so much more. I believe God wants to enlarge our territory to places where believers can stand up and say, we need to build a hospital in Mzamo or in Malawi, and we can put a billion rand or dollar, whatever the currency is, we can put it down. I really believe this is what God has called believers to be, to have and make a difference for the kingdom of God wherever we go. That our thinking is sometimes so restricted to me and myself, and not to the possibilities of what God can do through our lives. So he says, I will make you into nations, and they will, kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant between you and your offspring and throughout the generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your offspring after you. So he got circumcised, all the children since then have been circumcised, but with the new covenant we understand God wants our hearts to be circumcised. Our hearts must be cut for Jesus. We are bleeding for Jesus because we are so in love with Him. That is what the new covenant is really saying God wants us to be. For His wife, He said, Sarai will become Sarah. So the I in Sarai became H for God, for the presence of God. So He took the I out of Sarai, and she became Sarah, to live for God. Her purposes, and she was my princess, now she became princess, because it's for the nations again. And He said to her, through you, the children will come. I will bless you, and I will give you a son by her, and I will bless her, and she shall become nations' kings. And you know what, I just believe God is saying that God wants to bless the marriage, the wife from my youth. That we cannot walk away from the wife because the breakthrough, the promise didn't come from her. God wants us to be faithful for what He's given us, and we together. It's not me and you anymore. It's God's plan. It's always been for family in all of these things. And then after this, something incredible happens to me. This freaks me out when I read it. But these three visitors comes to Abram. The one is called the angel of the Lord. When you read it in context, many people will say, I believe that as well, that it is Jesus Himself, the angel of the Lord, with two other angels. And He says, I'm going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abram intercedes for them. Eventually, he said, if there's only that many who's righteous, long story, the angels goes in, and the men of the city wanted to have sexual intercourse with the angels. And Lot says, no, don't do that. Rather have my daughters. I can't. And thinking back what Heinrich preached last week, where there was a sacrifice of children made to Jephthah made a sacrifice of his daughter, and I'm thinking, how can you give up your daughters to this, to men that wants to rape these other men? The angels confused them. They had to flee for their lives. Lot's wife turned back, and it's also that, like, she's not wanting to leave, but he's calling her to go. She's looking back, and she changes in a salt pillar. That night, God comes and He destroys Sodom and Gomorrah with fire and brimstone. That night, the daughters make the father drunk. And the one daughter sleeps with her father. and she falls pregnant. And the next morning, the other daughter sleeps with her father, and she falls pregnant as well. And the children is the Amorites and the Moabites, who were the enemies of Israel from that time onwards. But the mistakes that they've made. And Abram goes and he exposes his wife again after that. After this breakthroughs that God has done, there's this guy, Abimelech, and he lies to Abimelech as well. This is my sister. And this guy wants to marry his wife, Sarah, and God appears to him in a dream, and he repents. And he says, I'm sorry, I was afraid. So in all of this, the man of faith made many mistakes, but God accounted his faith as righteousness. So even though we walk by faith, we make mistakes, and God used those mistakes many times to our advantage. And because this man blessed Abram, and God said to him, now pray for the woman of Abimelech, because they could not fall pregnant. There was a curse that came upon them. He prayed for them, and then Sarah fell pregnant, and she had the baby. And they were very grateful for it. But then God came, and he says, I want to test your faith. And he says to him, take, and these things, after these things, God tested Abram and said to him, Abram, and Abram said, here I am. He said, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains which I shall tell you. Your only son Isaac, whom you love. And you look at John 3:16, for God so loved this world that he gave his only son, and I just want to add there, whom he loved, so that those who believe will live and not have everlasting life. And Moriah is where the temple was built in Jerusalem. I believe it's also the place where Jesus was crucified, right there where the sacrifice was done. And, you know, when Heinrich said last week, don't sacrifice our children for success, because that was what was done in the time. People would sacrifice their children to have success, and I believe this is a word for us as well, that we must not sacrifice our children to have success, but that our children is our heritage. And he took him up the mountain. Isaac said, where's the lamb to be offered? He said, God will provide. He put him down on the altar, and as he wanted to kill him, the angel of the Lord spoke to him again and says, Abram, Abram. And he said, here I am. He said, I know now that you fear me, seeing that you have not withheld your son, that you have not withheld your promise. And I believe in all believers, we have a word, we have a promise that God has given us, and we walk by faith, and then there comes a time when he tests that promise that he has given us. And then it is, are we willing to surrender, or are we now going to hold onto that thing and say, no, this is not from God, this is not from God, this is the devil. But it's actually God coming to test our heart, to see if that thing becomes more important to us, or if God still stays the most important to us. And it can be ministry, it can be our work, it can be many things, but I believe God sometimes comes to test that thing, that promise that we've had, just to see if we are willing to surrender it to God, because God is still number one. Verse 14, Abram called the name of that place, the Lord will provide. That God is our provider, but he will provide the sacrifice as well. And it said, on the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. And that's why I believe Jesus was crucified there, on that mount. The provision was given for us for today on what Jesus has done for us on the cross. And then he says, God says to him, because you have done this and not withheld your son, your only son, therefore I will bless you. And then he says, I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of the heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore. And your offspring shall possess the gates of his enemies, and in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." Our blessing, I believe, goes parallel with obedience to God's voice. And it's that place of surrender and follow his voice. Follow him. And that's where the blessing of the Lord really can be for all of our lives. So I just want to ask the ushers if you can hand out the communion. In Hebrews 11, as they hand out, there's three things that has been said. Abram walked by faith into the land of promise. So Hebrews 11 verse 8 is, "By faith Abram obeyed when he was called to go out of the place that he was to receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. But by faith he went to live in the land of promise as a foreign land." So he didn't understand it. He knew God gave him this promise. He didn't know where he was going, but by faith he walked. That's the one thing that stands out for me there. There's two worlds, the world of darkness and the kingdom of God. And we must walk out of darkness into the kingdom of God. I believe, even for the business guys as well, is that we understand that most of this world is controlled by dark powers, if I can put it that way. But we as believers must know that God has overcome all those things when we walk by faith, that is the place where God can bless us. The second thing was, Sarah by faith received power to conceive. So Hebrews 11 verse 11 says, "By faith Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past this age, since he considered him faithful who had a promise." So she walked by faith and not by sight. She understood that God can do the impossible. When we realize we cannot, then God can do this. And I want to ask, do we still believe that God can? That we still have faith for our marriage, for our children? Do we have faith for that? If there's maybe another woman influencing my marriage or my husband, that like Sarah cast out the slave woman and her child, said, "No more, Lord, in the name of Jesus, you are a covenant keeping God, and I stand on this marriage that you've given us, and I cast away the slave woman. She will not destroy our marriage in the name of Jesus." Do we still have faith for that unbelieving husband, that person who lost his way, or that we know that God has the power in faith to change that what he has given us? And then the third point was, Abram by faith had to sacrifice his promise. That in faith he understood. It says, verse 17, "By faith Abram, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promise was in the act of offering up his son, of whom it is said, 'Through Isaac shall your offspring be named.' He considered that God was able to raise him from the dead." So when there's a promise that we believe God has given us, and we come to a place where we experience all opposition, that we can just come to our knees and say, "God, I surrender this promise to you. Let your will be done. Even if it will never happen for me, I put it on the altar. As Abram put Isaac on the altar, I put this on the altar." Because in that place, God can provide. God, the Lord God, will intervene and he will provide the sacrifice that is needed. But there's something of our hearts that God wants. He doesn't want us to follow him because he brings us promises. He wants us to follow him because he wants relationship with us. God wants to do great and mighty things through us, but he wants the honor. He wants the glory. God wants us to understand it's about him and it's not about who we are. He wants the I taken out, that the presence of God, the Spirit of God can be replaced, that we can follow God because we are excited with who He is. We love Him. We love who He is. Romans 4 just said, it was counted to Abram as righteousness, but it was not written only for his sake, it was also written for our sake, that we can know that the promises that God has given Abram is applicable to us, because Jesus died on the cross, that we have become heirs of that promise of Abram in our lives. But we have to, like salvation, accept it as a gift. And the gift is given, it's already given, but we must receive the gift, and that's faith. When we go, it's not for me, that cancels out faith. Faith is that place where we say, thank you, Lord, for what you've given me. Faith is not, thank you, this is for my knee. When we say that, we cancel God's promises over our lives. But if we can walk in a place where we know who we are God's favorite child, and everything belongs to Him. I'll never need. God is my shepherd. I shall not want. There's not a thing that God cannot provide. I can walk by faith, not by sight, because of the promises God has given me. And I believe many believers fall out of the bus because they go, I don't think it's for me. And then that rejection and that guilt and that shame starts ministering to us. And we believe we are not good enough anymore. And we believe all these lies that the devil is speaking over us. But it's not what God is saying. He says, I've predestined you. I've known you. I've had you in mind when I created the heavens and the earth. And I believe God is just looking for people to say, pick me, pick me. Who are willing to walk out of the world to say, God, I want to follow you because I want to know you. I want relationship with you. I'm willing to surrender in the name of Jesus. So, as Melchizedek, can I stick for your word, can I? As Melchizedek came to Abram, I just believe Jesus is with us, saying, this is my body, this is the blood, but I want you to believe in me. I've made a covenant with you, an everlasting covenant, but receive the covenant and all the promises by faith. Follow me, not for what I can give you, but follow me because I want to know you, and I want you to know me. I want every aspect of your life. I want to bless you exceedingly. I want you to be exceedingly fruitful in every way because I'm a good God. I believe God is wanting us to recognize that He's a good God. And the thing is, most of us will only know that when we have that encounter. Like someone comes and I pray, and I just pray for a bonus. Where did it come from? I believe it was the Holy Spirit. And then Monday, he SMS me, says, You wouldn't believe, I just got a bonus. I'm like, wow, that's amazing, really, prove it. But God is good. So if you have faith, I really believe God can bless that faith. Let's just pray. Father, thank you that we can know, Lord, that you're a good God. And God, I pray, Lord, for encounters, Lord. I pray for burning bush experiences, Lord. God, I pray, Lord, for the angels of the Lord to surround your people, Lord, to really know, to be touched by you, Lord, to have a living relationship, God, where they share secrets with you, where they walk with you in every way, Lord, where they hold your hand in Jesus' name. God, we thank you for the promises that you've given us, Lord, that we are heirs to these promises. In the name of Jesus, let's eat and drink. I just want to maybe just ask us if we can just stand up to do a song. And while you can you please stand? I really believe that there are some people that must walk and they must make a decision to walk out of where they are now. And it will mean that you will have to walk down the aisle just to say, okay, I'm walking out of I don't want to be part of this. I want to go to the promised land. I don't know what it means. I don't know where it is. But I need an encounter with God to change my life, that I will not be a slave to this world anymore, but I will be a son, that I can walk into the inheritance that God has called me for. Not to be a person who is, when they die, no one knows about it, but a person who is counted for in the kingdom of God, because I started walking by faith. So I'm going, my altar call is really that if you want prayer, if you need that experience with God, that you come forward as you are led by the Holy Spirit. And when I was preparing for the sermon, I just believed there are people with unbelief, that you do not believe in the promises of God for your life anymore. You just, it's not for me. God probably loves me, but I don't think He likes me, because these things does not happen to me. If you are feeling condemned, that you feel that I'm a sinner, I'm a bad person, I'm not good enough, the devil is speaking things against me, or there's guilt, you've done things and you just can't get forgiveness, you feel God doesn't love you, you just feel guilty about these things all the time, and you want to walk away, you feel just not worthy, you feel not worthy, and this thing is ministering to you, and you're feeling I'm a failure because of this guilt or shame that you've done something that you feel terrible about. Maybe it's been a divorce or infidelity. Maybe it's just been something when you was very small as a child, that you've something happened to you, and there's shame that is ministering to you, and the thing that you think of the most is that thing. You can't get freedom. I really want to encourage you to come forward, because I believe God's anointing is there to help you, to deliver you, to heal you, to set you free. Because the first song that we sang, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. There should not be this, I'm not good enough. There should be a place of the joy of the Lord is my strength. I understand the goodness of God, and I walk by faith because I know my God is an amazing God. I walk by faith. So I want to encourage you. It will mean that you will have to walk and go out, because I believe God wants to bless you and He wants to prosper you in Jesus' name. God, we just want to pray for every person that's responding, Lord. I pray for that burning bush experience now, Lord. I pray for Your Holy Spirit to come and touch them, Lord. God, I pray for impartation of great faith, Lord. That we will walk by faith and not by sight, Lord. That we will be a people separated for the things of God. God, I thank You that by faith we receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit, Lord. We can walk in love and peace and joy and faithfulness and goodness. But we also know there's healing, there's power, there's miracles, there's amazing things that's being done because we walk by faith. We are kingdom focused. Our heart is for Your kingdom to come. It's for Your will to be done in our lives. And not to hang on to that branch and say, help, help, help. And the focus is always on me and I, to a place of God, the nations. Send me to the nations. I'm ready to be a blessing because You have blessed me. In Jesus' name. Thank You, Lord.